and welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts here, Chameleon, aka Chris, and I have with me my two wonderful, wonderful other hosts. I've got Devin, Darkness Tari.
Oh, you called me wonderful. Hi.
And Mason of Random Dreams Review.
What up?
Nothing. What is going on, fellas? It's been a while since I feel like all three of us have been.
I know. Like, we've been like schedules, life, Brazil, you name it.
Brazil.
But you know what? Last week, Mason and I, we held it down. Chris, you weren't there, but I did talk about how Brazil approved the Microsoft regulations while I was here. So I don't know. I'm not saying I didn't help, but I'm also saying I didn't help.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, your mere presence there, I'm going to go off on a limb and say it did help.
Every place that I have been where these regulations have happened has passed, and I don't know how or why, but you're welcome.
Coincidence, question mark? I think not.
Go to the UK, please.
Well, go to the UK.
There's news on the horizon. There is news on the horizon. I can't talk about it.
I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Did the Sony fans in Brazil riot?
Weirdly enough, it's actually more complicated than that, because the PlayStation
5... It seems like that's always the case, right?
Yeah, the PlayStation 5 is actually very expensive here.
Isn't it almost double?
Yeah, it's almost double here. You have to think about what people make here. It's just not the same. So one of my coworkers who is working with me at this facility... He eventually got himself a PS5, but he wanted to get one. And he said that if he were to wait to buy a PS5, he'd have to save up 3 months' salary to buy
one. Jesus.
Let me ask, is the Xbox also crazily priced there or no?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, you have to remember, Chris, like, unfortunately, Brazil's currency is like almost worthless.
It's worthwhile. There is, what is
Isn't it?
One U.S. dollar is the equivalent of 5 Brazilian reals.
You're saying we need to buy some properties down there.
You know what's really funny? Real quick sidebar. We were traveling to this ocean beach city town called Santos. Yeah, we were just kind of like rewarding ourselves, patting ourselves on the back. And this is when the start of the project. And like our driver's kind of showing us around. They're like, oh yeah, these are these condos which are right off the ocean, but they're very expensive. They're incredibly expensive. Most people in Brazil could never afford them. Okay. And the project manager, she was like, well, how much are they? And the lady who was driving, she says, they're 1 million reals. And my project manager whispered to me, she was like, that's $200,000.
That's not bad, man.
That's not a lot.
I would do it.
It's literally not.
Do they get hit with like hurricanes and whack shit too, or no?
No.
Not really, nice. No.
Nice. Yeah. No. Okay. So I might look into this a little bit. Okay.
All right. The only drawback about Brazil, it's very expensive to get here.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, I would just sell everything and just buy everything but some of my electronics.
Yeah,
right. Well, if you had a remote position, like my job is remote when I don't travel, and as long as you're making U.S. money, you could live like a king here.
It's the same way in a lot of like other foreign nations.
Yeah,
where the U.S. dollars is valued so much better.
You can rent an apartment. I'm not saying it's a nice apartment, but you can rent an apartment here for $160.
Like right now, is honestly one of the best times to now go to Japan now that the borders opened up yesterday, because the U.S. dollar can get you so much over there because the yen is undervalued at the moment.
Yeah.
So like a pretty much like, let's say a extravagant meal here in the United States would cost, I don't know, what do you say, like $60, maybe $100?
Yeah, I would go with that.
Yeah, I guess that would be definitely an average if you want to go for the real extravagant, it can be
$100,
but yeah.
In Japan, you could get a pretty decent meal like that for like $20 US.
That's wonderful. Well,
right now, the United, because the yen, quite a lot of currencies across the world are actually falling. Yeah. And the dollar is staying incredibly strong because this is the benefits of being from the United States.
Yes.
I think right now the euro and the dollar are actually 1-to-1, which is for the first time ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But one US dollar is the equivalent of 146 Japanese yen.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, let me check on the euro. So one United States dollar is the equivalent of $1.03 in euro.
So, yeah, pretty much equal almost.
Pretty equal. Pretty goddamn close.
Do you guys want to hear about the Russian ruby?
Sure.
It's got to be like worth nothing.
Well, you would be pleasantly surprised, Chris, to know that one United States dollar is equivalent to 63 Russian rubles.
Oh, wow.
If only they had a better leader. If only.
If only. But we won't get into politics here Uninformed Gamers podcast. What we will get into, though, is games.
Yeah, the big games.
Yes. So what have you guys been up to?
Since I'm currently, I'll go with it. I've just been kind of playing my Forza and my Formula One. The problem is by the time I get off from work and get home and have dinner, like, I don't feel like booting any game up. But this past Sunday, I went to the largest mall in Brazil, which is I can see from my hotel window. Nice. And they actually have a video game room. I think I've talked about this before.
Ooh.
And I walked in because they have a simulator that I can play Formula One on. And it's not,
that's dope.
It's not the Formula One that I play. It's like an equivalent. So I signed up. They says, well, it's a better deal if you do the 3-hour. And you can come back whenever you want and just run out to 3-hour clock. And I said, you know, let's sign me up for that. I hop on the simulator, and it actually is a simulator that moves. So I had a good fun 30 minutes, then I went home. So had a lot of fun. I'm whenever I buy a house, if ever I buy a house, because interest rates are super high.
Yes.
I think I might actually invest in like a full-blown actual moving simulator.
That'd be kind of dope. Like, put it in the basement.
Yeah, because, you know, it's cheaper than me buying a car.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Cheaper than me buying a race car and doing all that stuff. It's the most I want to get to it.
Fair. Very fair.
What have you been up to, Chris?
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think. You reminding me about it, because you sent, like, the TikTok video on it, I did pick back up that mystery game. Oh my God, his name escapes me. It is Backbone.
Okay.
I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I really like their world. I like their way of storytelling, and I like the character interactions with the NPC and the different dialogue options that you get. It's pretty cool, actually. Mm-hmm. Quite funny. Very dark humor in there. The art style is very different. It's very like pixelated. I just like the use of animals instead of traditional like human like characters.
Yeah, that's always fun.
There's different things that play out in the game of like, yo, dude, this club isn't for you because you're not this animal.
Nice.
It's pretty funny.
Also commentary.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a good game. When I went to download it, so Xbox added this add-on to their games to like the on the PC. It added this like add-on to the like the PC store of the Xbox store, and it gives you like the time to beat from like that website time to beat. And so it's telling me that this game's like 5 hours.
Oh wow, pretty cool. That's like nothing.
Yeah. How long to beat? That's what it is. So it says the main story is 4 hours, main plus extra is 5 hours, and then completion is 6 hours.
Now, before we get over to Mason, y'all hung out and y'all went to a pre-owned video game store.
Yeah, it goes by the name of CD Game Exchange.
CB Game Exchange. Yes. And I know you both picked up something. And Chris, I'm going to ask you this question because you picked up a game we've talked about, or we've mentioned a few times here, just a couple.
More than a few.
No, I don't think we've talked about it there.
No. This is an unknown game.
Yeah, this is a game that we never once talked about on this podcast.
Yeah, so I did indeed find a original copy of Jade Empire, the limited edition.
Hey.
Made by BioWare Corporate.
Nice. And it was for a decent price, too.
Yeah, got it for $15.
That's actually a decent price. Now, the question I think everybody wants to know is, did you play it and does it hold up?
Not yet. I will definitely do that soon. Like, very soon. I do plan on booting that bad boy up.
Yeah. Good. I'm definitely curious because I've personally never played the game.
It, well, at the time, to me, was damn close to a masterpiece for me. I remember liking that it had, like, there was a ton of different paths that you could take depending on what you chose. And mm-hmm. then, like, it would influence the story differently.
So it's now, almost like Fable in a way.
I think some elements of it, but not exactly.
Gotcha.
More like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, more like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so I'm gonna as soon as I like kick it up and try it out, I will let you guys know.
Yeah, definitely.
And I will let you know what I think. Like, does it hold up in this? In 2022.
Nice.
Let me see if this is showing. It does not. Not easily. But this is an original Xbox game. So nice. It's been some years.
Yeah, it's been quite some time.
Absolutely. Be prepared to give us a Uninformed Gamers review on that in 2022.
Oh, I will. Absolutely.
All right, Mason, what's been going on your end?
Haven't really been like gaming too much, more so been like watching things, mainly like anime and movies. I messaged Chris this earlier, but I watched the entire first and second season of this anime called Classroom of the Elite.
Woo!
So I did that. It was good. I did enjoy it, but there are animes that have done what it does better.
Okay.
At least, because I've seen a lot of anime. I just felt like with this one, I've seen shows that kind of do this sort of premise that they do in that show a little bit better. Not to say the show's bad at all. I would say it was definitely like slightly above average. In terms of like an entertaining watch for me, definitely kept my interest, kept me invested. It's just there were certain parts that I was like confused by in terms of like the thought process.
Yeah,
like there's one moment, not to spoil anything, and then I'll move on to what else I've been doing. So this one character is this girl. She like threatened the main character with a false R-word accusation.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And so what she does is she puts his hand on her school uniform and on her breast, right?
Yep.
And she's just like, oh, well, your handprints and fingerprints are on my blouse, so therefore it's attempted R-word. I'm like, that is so like faulty logic right there. Like, that will not hold up at all if you decide to go forth with a false accusation like that. Like, there's so many ways you can explain yourself around that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was weak in terms of like,
oh, it was her, incredibly weak
in terms of like her holding a vice grip over the main character's like balls, so to speak.
She's the worst. I actually hate that character.
Oh yeah, I do too. She was definitely my least favorite character. And then like, and other things that I thought were weak were like some of the logic arguments. Like, there were so many different ways for the main character to prove that he was just a lot smarter than everybody else, but like most of it just involved just straight up lying. I'm just like, all right, I mean, you're not that smart per se. It's just everybody else around you is just dumb as fuck. But no,
he's great.
Like in terms of intelligence factor, I would say like Light Yagami is better in how they like portrayed his genius. Mm-hmm. But like with the main character of this show, Akanoji, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
They could have done a little bit better, but overall I still liked it. Was entertained. So I would give it like a 8 uninformed gamer out of 10.
Nice.
Still like high praise.
And then other things that I watched the very first episode of Chainsaw Man. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Highly recommend checking it out. Watched the first episode of the new season of Bleach and holy shit. The glow up is insane.
Going back to Chainsaw Man, is it the most iconic anime yet?
No. So I saw like one of the worst takes on Twitter. Surprise, surprise. This person was just like, this anime is more iconic than Bleach, and you know, being Chainsaw Man. I'm like, get the fuck out of here with that take. Like, that is such a bad take. Because
Bleach is like easily top 5.
Like, Bleach was considered a part of the big three. You know, yeah. you had Naruto, yep. You had One Piece, yep. And then you had Bleach.
Yep. Easily top 5. Like, then like there's no way Chainsaw Man's top 5. Like,
no, hell no.
It's just not even a possibility.
The manga's relatively new. The anime literally just came out, only one episode. Not to shit on like Chainsaw Man or Bleach. It's just like Bleach is just more iconic. I'm sorry.
There's just without
no argument there.
Yeah, that would literally be like someone saying Chainsaw Man is more iconic than Luffy from One Piece. Yeah,
right. Yeah. No, thank you. No, I don't even watch One Piece or read One Piece because I'm just, I don't know. I'm afraid to start it because it's this like massive behemoth. But even so me, good. Being a non-reader and watcher, Luffy is iconic.
Luffy is a dog. He is absolutely. He is an absolute animal. I don't know. I understand why he's so strong. He's been at this for like over 1,000 episodes.
Oh, I know. Dude. and then what else? That was pretty much it. I rewatched the 1997 Scream with my wife. It still holds up. Very good horror movie. And then we're going to be watching more of the Halloween movies to get ready for the new Halloween film that comes out very soon.
Awesome.
That's been me pretty much. No gaming really to speak of.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. Well, let's jump right into our topics from there.
Yes. You got
our first one,
right, Chris?
Oh yeah. So, Sony is always being a character. I swear Sony is like a comic book character. Like sometimes I don't think they're real. Like
and most of the time Sony is the villain.
Yeah.
All right. So, it came out from the like in this like document from the CMA. It's like a 76 page document. If it's on page 41, if you want to take a look at it, I'm just gonna give you like the Cliff Notes version.
The TLDR. Too long, didn't read.
Yeah. Yep. So basically, Sony wants some things to happen if this Microsoft acquisition goes through of Activision. What they want some things for COD specifically. They didn't talk about any other Activision game. They want some agreements in place.
Yeah, they're like Call of Duty.
Yep. Good old Call of Duty. So they said for COD for Xbox, they want no extra content that is not available on PlayStation.
So mm-hmm. let's pause there because I'm curious as to what exactly does that mean. Is that meaning like no extra content that is not available on PlayStation? Is that just hey, no time exclusive?
So, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Call of Duty in every release, basically, for the past years, they've been buying like these exclusivity for content. So, like, there's straight up game modes that are only available on the PlayStation.
Yes.
There is sometimes they'll get access to, like, say, the beta or something sooner if you're a PlayStation owner over the Xbox or something. So, like, basically stuff like that. Like, maybe there was, like, a PlayStation event at some time where, hey, if you're on PlayStation, you got this gun or something. Also, this skin for a gun. Basically, anything to do with some extra bit of stuff in the game or for the game, they want that basically to not be a thing. Even though they've been paying for all of this stuff for the past few years, which is comical. They also want no hardware enhancements better than PlayStation. So, for example, if there's some sort of like, let's say that there's another like Xbox and PlayStation that comes out like a mid-gen refresh, you know, and games are going back and doing like some quick updates to the game. They want to make sure that their version of the game plays exactly the same as it would on Xbox.
Like, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. And then this other one is just comical to me. And it's like they want no Xbox Game Pass benefits. Now, that to me is a very broad statement. Are they saying they don't want the game on Game Pass? Or are they saying that if it's on Game Pass, does it have to go to whatever Sony services, PlayStation Now? are they saying, oh, like, because there's like on Game Pass, there's sometimes you'll get some perks that you'll get stuff for different games. For example, let me think. There's Halo Infinite. Sometimes in the Game Pass perks, you'll be able to get like a skin for your gun or a skin for your character. Are they talking about stuff like that? And I'm just like, well, that's just you're funny. Like, why are you trying to dictate what someone does with their IP if it goes through when you for years have been doing this shit with Call of Duty and you didn't even own it?
Sony is really acting like the cheating girlfriend who drives a Nissan. No extra content, no hardware enhancements, no best benefits. I think that Sony's asking for way too much and
is offering
way too little.
Yeah. Like, I'm actually not sure why the CMA even wanted to go into the second phase of this. Like, it feels like if we're looking at like from stat portion, PlayStation is the leader of the market, right?
Yep, 100%.
And then comes Switch, right?
Yep, 100%.
And then comes Xbox.
Probably so, Switch might be first now.
I mean, it could be. It's either the PlayStation or the Switch. I'm not sure which one, but I thought PlayStation was the market leader. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure
I would not know. Off the top of my head.
But we all know that Microsoft is in last. Like that is 100% a fact. Like they did not do well last generation. They literally sold half the amount of Xboxes than PlayStation showed of the PlayStation. Like that's a bona fide fact.
As of so, real quick, devotion of accuracy department. As of September 2022, PlayStation owns 86.84% of the console operating. Xbox owns 13.12%, and Nintendo owns 0.04%.
Holy shit! Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. That's a lot more different than I thought it would be.
Wow. Switch
is not considered a console. It's considered a handheld.
Okay. All right.
That's fair. I mean, interesting. That is fair.
Yeah. That's interesting on that. Okay. So Either way, like, Sony's obviously the market leader. Like, 86%.
That's monopoly right there.
Yeah, so why the CMA not allowing Xbox to compete? Gain some market, you know?
Well, this is kind of Xbox's response to this. Like, after this kind of came out, Microsoft says, hey, we understand their concerns. Like, we get them. But let's not act like Sony is a victim and that they're a small company.
Exactly.
Sony has been dragging us for literal years to the point where we have to spend $70 billion to even get not even like equal to them to be able to compete with them.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Sony doesn't really have a great response because you look at the market share. Sony, you really can't complain considering you own 80%.
Right. Like what the hell? I'll never understand like why they like let this go to phase two. Like Microsoft at some point does need to stop buying stuff. Like, you're right. But like, I don't think we're at that point yet because they don't have the market. They just don't. Go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with Microsoft needs to stop buying stuff. Microsoft has bought a bunch of stuff and we still need to see that fruit. So
you're right.
Keep buying.
You're right.
And
that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not at that point where I'm like questioning, like, man, I don't think we should let them own anymore because they're going to start raising prices of everything. We see what's happening with the market leader. They're raising the prices of the PlayStation everywhere. Yeah. Like what the hell? Like, CMA, did you not see that? I'm dumbfounded by this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like Sony's being anti. If anything, I hate to say it, it seems like Sony's being anti-competitive.
I would agree with that statement and that just sentiment.
And do you guys think that Sony has a point? Because Sony said that the reason we have to put all these stoppages up front is that, let's be honest here, the Call of Duty is a console buyer. Call of Duty is only on Xbox, are people actually just going to not buy a PlayStation 5 and only buy an Xbox?
I have a hard time believing that.
I have a hard time believing that as well. But somebody made a great point. They said if Microsoft is able to successfully acquire Activision Blizzard, and in the event that they make Call of Duty entirely exclusive to Xbox, Sony doesn't have a choice but to respond with their own creation.
That's correct. You've got to become creative to keep up with the market.
Yep.
That's literally the market. Sony can sit here and say, oh, well, it's not fair. And somebody say, well, why don't you just build some? Why don't you create something that can compete? Like,
yeah.
Ford and Chevy and Dodge exist in the same category and they build the same pickup truck, but they build them to compete with each other.
Exactly. Let's think of it from this point of view. What does Microsoft currently have? And I'm talking something that's out right now. That is a direct competitor of God of War.
I mean,
they
don't really have a console exclusive that can compete with God of War.
They don't. That could be Hellblade. That could be Fable. Like, I'm not saying like, but as of right now, they know they have no answer to that question.
No.
And so what they had to do was get creative. They're going back. They're redoing a franchise that has been dead for a while, which is in Fable. They're also trying to, like, with Hellblade 2. Hellblade, the first one, was very well received. They bought the creators of that game, and it looks like they are funding hella money into that one. And so, like, that's what you have to do. Like, they understood that they are not the market leader. They don't have an answer to certain games that are on PlayStation. So they're like, okay, well, we're gonna make that single player game that is going to be that kind of answer. And that's what they're doing.
I personally think Microsoft has every right now, because as everything you said, like, let's be honest, Microsoft is not known for having these first party games. We're saying that over the next few months that there is no answer for God of War Ragnarok. Yes, Mason, are you okay? Yes, there are games coming out.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there with my sound.
I was going to say, it's like you're being attacked.
What was going on?
Yeah, I was just like, whoa. Do you need some help? as of right now, Microsoft does not have a console seller coming up in the next couple months. Let's be honest here.
No, absolutely not. So, I can't think of anything that's coming out this year. So,
Scorn.
Well, yes, but like, is that really a console seller though?
That doesn't have enough hype.
Yeah, no. I don't think so. I think that's gonna be a very niche game.
I think it's gonna be a niche game, but I think I'm still gonna play it.
I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna probably get terrified to turn it off.
It comes out on Friday, so actually, listeners, by the time you listen to this, Scorn comes out tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that is true. Oh,
does it really?
Wait, wow. No, it's Thursday, dude.
No, when they listen to this.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I got you. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Wow, Chris. All right, well, a little bit
inside. What is time? What is time?
So let's go ahead and let's switch up our topic. Since we're on the topic of Microsoft, and since we're on the topic of talking about how much their coin they're willing to drop for the Activision Blizzard, one of the questions that always came up was how much money does Game Pass actually bring in for Microsoft?
Which I was actually like really curious about this question, because we talk about Game Pass a lot, but the one thing that's been really vague is how much it actually brings in.
And the number that was unveiled, Xbox Game Pass revenue has always been a mystery, and Microsoft's been quiet on how its subscription services performs. But in a series of legal documents related to the Microsoft Activision Blizzard merger, first uncovered by Tweaktown, we have a number of for the first time. Xbox Game Pass for consoles generated $2.9 billion in revenue in 2021.
Now, and that's for the console, and that's just for the console alone, correct?
That's for a console that is not including the PC.
Which, that's very impressive. That's damn near $3 billion.
Yeah. Now, were you guys expecting this number? Were you expecting less? Were you expecting more? What were your thoughts on this?
I mean, to me, it sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it does sound about right. I don't know what I was expecting. I was just curious, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know with the math, because the PlayStation fanboys on Twitter will make you believe that everyone's just paying $1 for the damn thing, $1 a month. But that's obviously not true.
Paying $1 a month and getting nothing for it.
And like, what was also revealed from what I was reading in that article, Devin, was that overall, Microsoft made, what was it, over $17 billion?
16.28 billion.
Okay.
Lifetime.
So almost 17.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, when you do the math breakdown per month, Xbox Game Pass, just again, not PC, but just console Xbox Game Pass, brings in $250 million in revenue every single month.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I expect it to be more.
And it will be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely will build upon itself over time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't know. When I saw the $2.9 billion for the year, I was kind of expecting it closer to $5 billion, to be honest with you.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Because specifically with the level of acquisitions that Microsoft is doing, dropping $70 billion for Activision Blizzard, $7 billion for Bethesda. I don't know. I expected this to be bringing in more money, but I guess, as you guys are pointing out, they still brought in $16 billion for the year just on this alone.
Yeah, which is really awesome. And that's not, we're not even taking into account their other forms of revenue.
Yeah, we're not talking about Microsoft. We're just talking about just straight Xbox alone.
Yep.
Yeah. And you've got to look at it this way. So there's a few things that go that are a part of that subscription that you don't think of. So someone might be on this subscription, and they may not be like a super heavy like game buyer. So now you've got their promise. Like, so let's say someone buys usually one game a year. Now you've got their promise $10 to $15 a year.
Yep.
On top of that, if they like something in it, like a game that they try, there's microtransaction. So Microsoft gets a cut of that. You're literally almost like, subscriptions are popular for companies because it's like promised income. Like you kind of know what you're going to get.
Exactly. Like
if, if someone's like been a longtime subscriber of yours, they're probably not going to end it. And this is, they're in this subscription now, even without Microsoft having all those like first title, like first party, like game titles. Like we're missing a lot this generation so far, but like there's promise in the future. So like starting next year is when you'll probably see, in my opinion, a pretty significant jump in Game Pass subscribers, especially if this Activision Blizzard acquisition goes through.
Yeah, because imagine you get basically, you can pay a small monthly subscription, because I think what, anywhere from 10 to 20 bucks, not including their family plan, for a small monthly lump sum, you can get all Call of Duty and Activision Blizzard games.
Should be sweet.
That's a subscription I think is going to be worthwhile for a lot of people. When I look at the subscriptions that I have, because we actually, I have quite a lot of subscriptions, Chris, between the three of us, we have a lot of subscriptions.
Yeah, we have a shit ton.
But the two subscriptions that I've never considered canceling, obviously, Xbox Ultimate and Spotify. So I don't see myself ever canceling these. They're worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Now,
I absolutely agree.
Now let's move over to something that all three of us.
Yeah, I kind of shook my head at this. I'm like, wait, what?
Do you want to bring us the story, Mason? Because
So we just got news that Square Enix shut down a game. It was a handheld one, right?
It was a mobile.
It was a mobile. All right, so yeah, it was a mobile game, and it was a battle royale game, and it was a Final Fantasy battle royale game. Now, me being a Final Fantasy / Square Enix stan, I did not hear about this game, and neither did Chris. You didn't hear about it either, Devin, did you?
I am not a Final Fantasy stan, but I like to keep my nose and ear to the ground. I had no idea what this was.
Yeah, like we're a gaming podcast, right? And we're pretty well informed despite our name, and none of us heard about this game, and we were kind of like taken aback by the announcement that it got shut down, not even a year into its life cycle.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like it's again one of those times where Square Enix doesn't market their games.
No,
like, I just don't like if it's not straight up like a mainline Final Fantasy, they don't even market it.
Yeah, and it's a damn shame too, because like on paper, this sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounded cool. I would have played it.
Like a battle royale with Final Fantasy characters and they're like IPs, like that sounds like something that I would definitely like, but I had no clue about it.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate like some of the comments, like, oh, whoa, this, I can't believe it. I've been playing this game since day one. And some other people are like, this came out? This is a thing?
Yeah, that was my thought process. And I'm like, what is this?
And quite a few of the comments have gotten to the part where, like, I have no idea what this is. I have never heard of this before in my life.
Yep.
But I think we have to talk about Square Enix's measure of success. Because
and this... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
They also did the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which sold pretty well. And they said it was an absolute failure.
Because that's crazy.
I thought that game was a masterpiece, in my opinion. I thought it was great.
Same. But Square Enix just loves to kill its projects. It loves to kill its unique projects, but it keeps the same ones going and going forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but at this point, the same one.
Yeah, what I was going to say is like the one higher up guy, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he's a big time developer within Square Enix. I remember us talking about this. He was quoted saying that he sincerely believes that there's something wrong with Square Enix and how they market their games. He was quoted saying that he thinks that there needs to be a fundamental shift in how they do this, or else they will, crumble.
Yeah, but people are still going to support them. Like, there are people, I guarantee, when they found out about this game, they rushed to go download it, even though they know it's going to die right before Stadia will.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Stadia, man.
Oh, man. Too soon.
Too soon.
But no, I don't know. I really don't know, because Square Enix is a very weird company to me, because they have the potential to do these amazing, innovative things, and they choose actively to not do it. Like, this could have been a major thing across that could have swept the nation. But again, very little marketing, very little buildup. Again, I listen to podcasts. We're all gamers. We always on social media. I did not know this was a thing. And I know generally when, if I don't know, you two will know.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like the stories we send back and forth, we're like, oh, breaking news. Is the depth of this surprising? No. Nope. Do I want to play it? No.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at too, dude.
Yeah. Yep. No, I don't love Final Fantasy enough to download this on my phone.
Yeah. That's totally fair. I mean, I'm not going to download it. A, it's going to be gone. Even if I like it, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're going to feel like, oh, well, cool, I like this, but now I won't be able to play it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthem.
Yeah, Anthem.
I thought it was generally fun. I was having fun with that story.
But as we sing with this, Anthem was one of those games that could have been great had the producer actually cared about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, was this a free to play game? Was this a purchasable game? Like,
I think it's free to play.
It was free to play.
Okay. Well, rest in peace, Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale. We barely knew you, and we're not that sad to see you go.
But what's interesting is that kind of segues into our next topic, because this Battle Royale game was a free-to-play game. And this next story comes from a CNBC article that was posted on October 6th, so fairly recently. And in my opinion, it's a bit of a clickbait article, as it is with most news articles. You know, they got to get those click rates. But the clickbait title is how free to play and in-game purchases took over the video game industry. While this is an interesting article, it doesn't really go over the how. It just gives you numbers. So I was a little upset with how this article was written, because it doesn't really go into the how. It just says, hey, this is what's happening. So it's very clickbaity in that aspect. But are you surprised, guys, that free-to-play games and microtransactions have taken over the video game industry? Because we talk about it a lot on this podcast.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
No, because it's free-to-play. Like, it's drawing you in with a very low to zero price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go ahead and put like a little, hey, if you'd like a bonus, you only have to pay $1.99.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this article fails to grasp, is that how. Because like you alluded to, Devin, it's that, oh, well, you know, it's only $1. Guess what? When you have millions and millions of people playing your free-to-play game and spending that $1, that adds up over time.
Oh, yeah.
It most certainly does. So, and that's one of the reasons why I hate reading like most of these articles, because they never actually get to the actual point. Like, hey,
no. And I hate this article because it doesn't tell you how. It just says this company does this. This company did this. This is the percent increase. Okay. Well, where's the how?
How did it get to this point?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what this article fails to grasp, is the how. But anywho, to kind of put it into perspective, what's really interesting, over the last decade, it's estimated that the mobile gaming market took in $136 billion, which I'm kind of surprised it's not more.
That's kind of crazy.
But that's honestly still a lot of fucking money.
That is an incredible amount of money.
Still half as much money as Elon Musk has.
Yeah, it's almost a quarter of $1 trillion.
And it's only going to get bigger from here. It is.
Oh, it is 100%. And leading them is our favorite company, Activision Blizzard.
Because well, soon
enough, it'll be Microsoft.
Yeah, for real.
Diablo Immortal, baby.
Yeah, God. They're the poster child of just unscrupulous greed.
Oh, yeah. I really hope once this merger goes through that they're able to fix some of these shady business dealings.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised, again, that microtransactions and mobile gaming have taken over the industry because of kind of the model that we've been talking about. You know, like Devin said, free to play, free to download, but they hook you in with those, you know, in-game purchases, the loot boxes, the, you know, the dollar here, dollar there.
Yeah.
Battle passes, etc.
Yeah.
Every trick in the book.
Yeah, exactly. Like we've said before, a lot of these companies use gambling models.
They sure do. They sure do. Get you addicted.
Yup. But into more positive territory, though.
Positive, yes. Though.
Yes. Black Adam's coming out soon, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, in a recent interview done by Variety, one of the more popular entertainment news outlets out there, was quoted saying something pretty spicy. And he was quoted saying that Black Adam will 100% fight Superman in the future.
Which is kind of crazy that he said that.
Yeah, I'm sure that he was given the okay to say that. Because, like, that is such a big bomb to drop.
What if he wasn't given the okay? Like,
oh, my God. He would be in so much trouble.
He really would.
Mr. Dwayne, you're not supposed to talk about that. Henry Cavill never agreed to this.
Henry Cavill, agree to it, please.
Yeah, he goes on to say, Dwayne Johnson goes on to say that's kind of the whole point of this project. You know, i.e. Black Adam, is to kind of build up that rivalry in a way.
Is Dwayne The Rock Johnson really a sequel guy?
Fast and Furious has proven anything.
Yeah, but he wasn't the main guy on that. He was just
But he appeared in a lot of the movies.
Yeah, but he eventually quit and said he'd never come back. He did that.
Well, that's because of him and Vin Diesel, though.
Yeah, but it's still a multi-billion-dollar franchise. Like, what was
true.
Outside of, because there was Jumanji, but again, he was one of the main guys.
Yeah.
I think he was also on the second one with Kevin Hart and Jack Black.
Yeah.
You're right. I'll take it back.
But was there been like a movie that, it's The Rock, he is the lead guy, there is no other massive name, and he's done a sequel?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
And
I'm trying to look at it. I'm not seeing any yet, except for Fast and Furious.
The Rock gives 100% all in every single one of his movies and everything he does. I get that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But do I want to see The Rock giving it all in like four of these Black Adam films in a multi-extended universe?
I mean,
I don't know.
I think the answer to that question will come when Black Adam comes out.
Are you going to see it? Is it going to be a day one release for you? Are you going to go see it on day one?
I would like to, yes.
Chris, what
because
about you?
I'm a fan of that universe.
I love the idea of Black Adam. And I love DC, so.
Well, Black Adam will be releasing October 21st, 2022. So if you guys want to go see it, we can all make a Uninformed Gamers trip to it.
I would love that, honestly. Because we've been talking about seeing a movie together for a while, but we just haven't been able to like line our schedules up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would love to as well. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, we'll keep each other posted on this. I'm not this movie doesn't call me because it feels like it's going to be another Shazam, which I did not love. But I'll check it out because I do like The Rock and everything he's in. So,
same.
That's fair.
Same. But before we go, remind me to Google if there is an end credit sequence and how many there are, because I have sat through 3 end credit scenes and most of the time they're not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume with this one there will be, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I would assume as well, but yeah, you never know.
All right, let's change up topic and let's talk about something that's getting a little bit more available into into the wild. Now, on this podcast, we kind of talked about the new Steam Deck, about how it's a cool device. The problem is it's going to be hard to buy because supply chain issues. Well, the good news, you're hearing it first from us. Apparently, the Steam Deck, as well as the PlayStation 5, are back on shelves. We can actually go into stores and buy them now.
And this is reported by Valve themselves. Like, this is official. They announced it on their official Twitter page, quote, saying Steam Deck is now available with no reservation required.
Yep. I'm actually looking at Steam right now as we speak. And when you go to the Steam Deck page, all 3 of the models for the Steam Deck, it says expected delivery 1 to 2 weeks. So you,
which is fantastic.
Not have to wait anymore.
Like that is so awesome.
Yeah.
Is it awesome? Because it kind of gives me that energy. Is just like, hey guys, this concert has plenty of tickets left for tonight. Nobody wants to see your concert.
The Steam Deck actually has been selling incredibly well.
Oh yeah.
So yes, I get what you're saying. Absolutely. But it is actually doing pretty damn well.
Yeah.
Well, anything that's handheld is going to do very well. Yeah. Are either of you guys going to pick this up? Because it's still not the cheapest thing you can buy.
I mean, I'm not, because I like playing my stuff on my laptop.
Yeah. I only play a select, like very select few games on my PC. And so I do have Steam and I do have a big library. And I can tell you, I've done beat none of those games because I just don't want to. And so anything that's in that Steam library, either I've already played it on, like, you know, like on another console or something, or I just have no, I'm just not that interested in playing it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the same thing. I'm just not interested. It's just not for me.
Yeah, my internet connection's not good enough for me to do any of this, so I'm sticking with my consoles, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, like, I have a lot of consoles myself, and, you know, I've got PS4, Xbox, Series X, got a laptop, got a Switch. Like, I just don't see the point in me purchasing a Steam Deck.
Yep.
Sam,
I'm go ahead.
No, I agree.
Like, I'm tapped out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Like, I'm literally looking at all of the games in here, and the only one that I can say that I would actually legitimately play, I have it installed, haven't even touched it, is Batman Arkham City, Game of the Year edition.
Such a good game.
You're not going to go back.
I have it installed. And like, so that means I would have, like, this computer I'm on is relatively new, within the last 2 or 3 years. And so I did install it relatively recently, but will I fucking play it? Probably not. Like, I have 59 games in here sitting that I can tell you I've played very few of them.
That's bigger than my backlog, Chris.
I was about to say, you got a bigger backlog. Chris.
I think Chris wins the award now.
Wow. You know what's funny? A lot of these games I got, like, the Humble Bundle, where you pay, like, $1 or something, you get a bunch of games.
Yeah, I got
a shit ton from there.
Nice.
So I have not paid the amount. Like, I'm looking, I have the whole Fear series in here.
Oh, am I ever going to play that? Such a good series.
Probably not.
And this is how that free-to-play thing comes back and haunts people. It's only $1.
And that's how that was. It really got me, because that was before, like, when I used to do this, it was before that really was a thing. Like, there wasn't many free-to-play games. Probably League of Legends, because it's been out for so long, but that was about it.
Well, fair enough. Well, let's move on over to our very last topic. And recently, Netflix has unveiled the Cyberpunk 2077 Edgerunners anime. I just finished it. Boy, was it gory, but boy, did I enjoy it.
Hell yeah. Fantastic. That's what I like to hear. Chris, you've seen it, right?
Yep.
Did you finish it? Did you guys finish it?
I finished it.
Yeah, I finished it.
All right, let's try to avoid spoilers because where people still got to watch it. If you haven't watched it yet, it's on Netflix. Check it out. I think that we can all universally agree that the world was amazing.
Yeah.
The characters each had their own level of depth.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
And I just think overall it was a good one series anime. I'm perfectly fine with what we saw.
Yeah, I am too. I don't think that we should get a sequel.
I do
because
not.
Because it, I mean, not a spoiler, but it ended perfectly.
It did.
Yep.
Yeah, it ended legitimately perfectly. And it builds anticipation for, if you haven't played the game, there's things that you would have saw in this show that you'll be like, oh shit, I need to go play this.
Because like, I'm gonna say the game came out. That anime definitely motivates me to play the game because I haven't played it.
I have not.
And it made me really curious.
It's my favorite RPG. I will say that. I loved it. It was, I love shooting games and I enjoy them a lot. And to be able to do that with a fantastic story, really deep character design, and now without the bugs.
Yeah. It's like,
I beat Cyberpunk 2077 when it first came out. I did it on the Series X and I had minimal bugs. There was only a few things I couldn't do and I was cool with it. I thought it was fantastic. I was actually kind of sad that like the rest of the world couldn't enjoy the game because I thought it was legitimately that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like really happy now to see that there's people out there finally enjoying this, honestly, to me, which is a masterpiece of a game of this style. And I think if you haven't tried it, you should 100% pick it up.
And if you haven't watched the anime on Netflix, please check it out. You can watch it in either English or Japanese. Either way, they're both fantastic. I watched it both in English and Japanese back to back. And
this guy,
I loved both versions.
I watched it in English because I'm that guy. And the reason I watched it in English is because I wanted to pay attention to the environment itself and not the subtitles.
Mm-hmm. That's why I watched it in English first, because I really just wanted to just pay attention. And then when I watched it in Japanese, I was able to just kind of process the dialogue better.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Go ahead.
The reason we're talking about Cyberpunk 2077 is not because the anime was amazing, or it's not even to revisit the Cyberpunk 27, the game. It's because it's already been announced that CD Projekt Red has officially launched Project Orion, which is going to be the sequel to Cyberpunk 2077.
Let's hope that this development is a lot smoother.
I think this was very quick to announce this. I actually was kind of saddened that they're basically saying, all right, well, we're going to do one major DLC for Cyberpunk, then we're off to the next best thing.
Yeah. I think that it's a little short-lived, but it actually at the same time does make sense. So one thing that they really struggled with was how many generations this game spanned across. And so they had very like big hardware limitations when they were trying to release it on, say, PS4 and Xbox One. It didn't work out that well, as you saw with the release.
Right.
So I think that I get why they're like, okay, let's do one DLC, do what we promised, and then let's get on to the next game in the series so that we can just show off all our colors in a new game.
Well, one thing that I thought stood out about this announcement was that CD Projekt Red, so they're going to be putting anywhere from 350 to 500 developers on this project. And
that's a lot.
The first thing I thought to myself is, CD Projekt Red, stop talking. You have a tendency to oversell, underdeliver. I don't need to know how many people are on this project. I don't need to know about none of your ideas. They said it's going to be developed using Unreal Engine 5. Just stop talking. Wait. That's say, enough. Hey, we're working on this project. It's going to be Cyberpunk 2077. We're not telling you when it's going to be due. We're not telling you nothing about the project. Y'all ain't going to get shit from us. We're going to be radio silent until a month before it's ready to be released. We will come back E3 when it's ready, not before that. Just stop talking.
Yeah, they need to learn their lesson from Cyberpunk.
Yeah. They need like a lawyer in the room before they do anything. They need their legal department to be making all of their Twitter posts going forward.
Are you the truth?
I will tell you though, the fact that this is using Unreal Engine 5, I am so excited.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for that engine. It's gonna be revolutionary.
I hope so. I hope people are really gonna be pushing. Honestly, what we're seeing with all these Unreal Engine 5 development videos where people are just kind of testing the boundaries, I would be perfectly okay getting a game that was only 3 hours long that truly pushed Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah. Like, just do it like a story-based game.
Straight narrative-based game, like a movie. Yep. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Just so I can... these games don't exist, but I am just so excited for Unreal Engine 5 because of these videos.
Oh, I know. Me too.
Hellblade 2. We know that's all on Unreal Engine 5. Everything we've seen of that, oh boy.
Beautiful game. That
looks spicy.
It looks amazing. But before we go, before we finish out our podcast, we usually have what we call as a review segment. And this is basically us covering any video game, TV show, or film that we watched over the last week. And we would like to give a review towards it. So, while we enter our review segment, Mason, do you have anything you'd like to give us a review for?
Well, I already talked about Classroom of the Elite, so that'll do for that one. And then I don't feel comfortable giving a review for Chainsaw Man or Bleach because literally only one episode has dropped, so I can't really talk on that.
Okay.
And then in terms of... No, the 1997 Scream film, if you haven't checked it out, it is a classic. It flipped the horror genre on its head when it came out because essentially it's a parody of horror. Or rather it's like a commentary on it, like a satire in a way. But honestly, like, it's a solid film. I would honestly give Scream like an 8.5 out of 10, maybe a 9. Very, very solid horror film.
Very cool. All right.
Chris, do you have any reviews you'd like to give us this week?
So I did watch She-Hulk, just waiting for the final episode. I think that's this week. And I've got to say, I think it's pretty damn fantastic. This is a great show. You have to just abandon the idea of superhero when you watch this show, in my opinion. Just watch it just straight up, just, and you'll just thoroughly enjoy it. You just got to be down for like the quirkiness and the she's her own thing.
Like the comedic aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I started Lord of the Rings, the TV show. Only watched one episode though, so I can't give anything on that yet.
Okay. Have you started House of Dragons?
I haven't, but that is on my list. I need to, right now I'm trying to finish the last three seasons of Bleach so that I'm like, you know,
all caught up.
I've never saw him, so I was like, I don't know what happened after
the
Eisen arc.
And you kind of see how happened. You kind of do have to watch it because of how the first episode of the new season starts. You kind of gotta watch.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so
stuff happens that you'll question and you'll be like, huh, when did this happen?
Yeah. So I'm on those last three seasons. I'm on the last two seasons. I'm sorry, because I started the second last season.
Gotcha.
Yesterday. So I've been watching that. So as soon as I catch up on that stuff, I will be taking a look at House of Dragon.
Nice. I'm on like episode 7 of House of Dragon so far.
I think I'm on episode like 5, and I think I'm one episode away from Lord of the Rings from being caught up.
Nice.
She-Hulk, absolutely love it. Think it's funny. It's my pleasure watch show now.
It is great.
I do not have anything on the review segment this week. However, I do have a Halloween fun fact for you guys.
Ooh, what's that?
We did not see Jason Voorhees in his trademark hockey goalie mask until the third Friday the 13th film.
Nice.
What did he have on in the first two?
Well, in the first one, he wasn't technically there. He was just an imagination. And in the second one, I think it was a plastic bag.
Right? Nice. You know what's surprising that a lot of people forget, speaking of like Jason and like Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
People, this is spoiler alert, by the way. And if you haven't seen the first Friday the 13th, shame on you. Like, it's been out for a long fucking time. So if this spoils you, that's your damn fault. But a lot of people forget that Jason's mom was the killer.
Yeah, she was the killer in the first film.
Yeah, like a lot of people forget that.
I never saw it.
Wow, no Chris.
It's no spoiler for me because I wasn't going to go back and watch it. So
I'm oh, okay.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I haven't watched a ton of scary movies.
That's fair.
Yeah, they're not good. But the first Friday the 13th film was actually Mrs. Voorhees doing the killing. The second Friday the 13th film, and again, if you haven't seen it, oh well, too late. And the second Friday the 13th, Jason's actually alive, and he's just an adult killing people, so he's actually a normal guy. And the third one is when he actually gets the mask.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And I will be seeing the new Halloween film, Halloween Ends, this Saturday.
Ooh, okay.
All right. I will be arriving back in the States on this Saturday, and my only plan is to watch Hocus Pocus 2.
Nice.
It's on my list as well. We just rewatched Hocus Pocus 1.
Good movie. All right.
Well, let's go ahead and close this out. As you guys know, we are the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically anywhere you listen to podcasts, we're there. If you like what we do here, feel free to give us a tweet or a response at our Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts. You can find me as Darkness Tiger on Xbox, Darkness Tiger 2 on PlayStation 5. If you like what we do, feel free to send me a message. I'm always happy to respond. And we do take criticism very valid, as long as it's valid criticism. All right, absolutely. Guys, go ahead and do your sign-offs.
And I am Chameleon. You can find me at twitch.tv/iChameleonI or on Twitter at Chameleon Games.
And I have been Mason, also known as Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review. You can catch me on my YouTube, Rad Dreams Review, as well as Twitter and Twitch, Rad_Dreams.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Later.
Peace.